Today on Real Radio.
I was talking to a man not long ago who went out and goofed off and got himself some AIDS, you know, and he's going to die. And I had a chance to tell him, you know what, isn't God merciful? This whole thing has led you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. This AIDS that you're suffering is much more merciful than the grill of a Mack truck at 60 miles an hour. Because if that would have happened, you would have been lost in a Christless eternity in hell forever. But this suffering has got your attention, and now you're saying, oh God, be my strength and prepare my heart for eternity. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. To be sick, to be dying, and to have encouragement like that? Only through Christ, because he's the one who is the first and the last who was dead. Past tense. He's alive forevermore.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're in a series taken from this final book of the Bible that focuses on the seven letters written to the seven churches in Asia Minor, or modern-day Turkey. The Apostle John is taking dictation from the risen Messiah, and there are some very serious challenges to the believers of the day. The subtitle of this series is, What Kind of Church Are You? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Those of the Roman Empire in Smyrna believed this, and they said it. It was common billboard around town. Our city is the first and the last among the Roman Empire. It begins here, Caesar worship, and we will continue forever. We are Smyrna. We will last forever. We're the ones. You worship in Smyrna, you'll have eternal life. You worship in Smyrna, you'll never die. Jesus is saying, I tell you what, they're not the first and the last. I am the first and the last. And he tells it to a church that is suffering, under pressure. What if our local civic powers were to say, no more church, no more meeting, and the persecution would come against us? What would you do? You would be comforted by the words of God. I tell you what, we may not be in a church service on a Sunday morning, but I got a feeling those of you who are Christians, you would have church in your house, wouldn't you? You'd set your kids down or get your husband or wife together, open up the Bible, and the word of God may bring you more comfort than sitting right here being distracted or whatever we may or may not be doing right now. Because all of a sudden it becomes applicable in our lives. In the midst of all of our suffering, Jesus is saying, I'm the first and the last suffering church, and you can have peace. Because cities come and go, countries come and go. Did you know historically, the United States is right at that age where according to the statistics, we will die soon? Did you know that? Did you know throughout human history, nations last on the average 200 years? America will come and go. Countries have come and gone. Jesus says to the suffering church, don't worry about the proclamations of those of Smyrna. I am the first and the last. Boy, I tell you, it would be applicable to us this morning as Jesus saying, don't worry about the fires. I'll put out the fires. You'd say, oh, yes, Lord, please now. You know why? Because it's immediately applicable. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Christian, do you have peace? Even in the midst of suffering, Jesus says, I leave my peace with you, not as the world gives, because why? It doesn't give peace. It only gives you a momentary high. He says, I don't give you the peace that the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Jesus Christ is on the throne. John 16, 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, difficulty, hardship. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Any Christian or church that understands that Jesus is in charge will have peace. Think about it. We're praying for sister churches all along the hills that they might, what? Sense the peace of God and be able to minister and strengthen people right now. This is the moment of shining for them. Perhaps for us. It's always in the moment of difficulty when what you claim to believe becomes reality. Is your child sick? This week we were praying for a child, a teenager in this church. Horrible situation in her life. Nothing that the world offers is a comfort. You think Nintendo comforts that little child at that moment when they're sick and going through all of the horrible things? No, it's not Nintendo. They're not calling out for, you know, their favorite rock and roll group or MTV. When someone's hurting, they're crying out for peace. And sometimes, listen, church, we need to go certainly to the words of Jesus and read them and understand them and know them again. But sometimes for us who are trying to minister to somebody, you can just stand there and open the Bible and start reading out loud, because there's nothing that we can do but give them the absolute thing that in the spirit, I don't understand it, but in the spirit it is translated into physical comfort. I don't get it. How somebody could be dying of cancer and racked with pain, and you could open up the Bible and read to them and their pain begins to subside. And yet the doctors will tell you their pain level, they're still spiking on the pain. And yet their countenance calms down, and you try to stop reading that Bible, by the way, and they'll say, keep going, please don't stop. How do you explain that? You don't know anything about what I'm talking about unless you've been either in that amount of suffering or you've ministered to somebody suffering like that. When the word of God is the only healing balm that can calm them and give them peace. Peace. Jesus says, I give you. A second thing in verse 8, we learn about this. In a hostile environment, we can be a church that's encouraged. Jesus says, these things saith he who was dead. You say, well, how in the world does that comfort me? Because it's past tense. The church at Smyrna is going to die for their faith. Listen, side note, those of you who are sitting around here and you're just, well, I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm going to hold out to the end. Okay, you're a nut, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. Here's the reason why you're a nut. It's much easier now to live for Jesus Christ than after the rapture happens. Did you see the sun yesterday? Could you see it? I couldn't see it until I got to Newport Beach yesterday. It was so messed up. But when it came out, even in Newport Beach, it was red like blood because of the fires. And I'm driving, I said out loud, you know, and in those days, the sun will be turned into blood on that great and notable day of the Lord. And people are walking around. I went to a wedding. People are walking out of their cars. They're looking around going, look at that. I heard some people that they're not obviously not news addicts like I am. What's happening? That's what they said. What's happening? Man. Yeah, well, I'm not going to be a Christian now. I'm going to wait till it really gets rough. Are you crazy? Man, become a Christian now. Don't wait for that moment to come. Escape that moment. By the way, the Bible makes it clear that if you understand the gospel and you miss the rapture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says you will not be able to believe then, that God will send you strong delusions so that you will not believe, but in fact believe the lie. Watch out. Don't play with God. You can be encouraged now. He says, I'm the one who was dead. If the church at Smyrna was about to suffer because they wouldn't bow the knee to Rome, remember? They wouldn't say Caesar is Lord. They're going to be dying at the stake. They're going to be burned. They're going to be hanged. They're going to be quartered. They're going to be turned loose into the hungry jaws of lions in Rome. If you're going to die for your faith, what a comforting word. Jesus says, I once died too. Don't worry about it. Man, I was dead. I'm the first and the last. I'm the one who was dead. The first and the last, that's a declaration of deity, God Almighty, Yahweh God, by the way, who died and rose again from the dead, says the Bible. We can be encouraged. John 11:25. Am I yelling? I'm sorry. I'm so excited about this. I tell you, this is good news for us. You may say, I don't get it. Well, what if your doctor hands you a slip tomorrow? Maybe you'll want to listen to this tape again. Doctor says, you know, we've got some bad news, 6 months to live. That could be very good news. Think about it. I don't know how long I'm going to live. Do you know how long you're going to live? I don't know. I have to guess. Sometimes I think about it. If a doctor says you got less than 6 months, that's kind of merciful if you think about it. If you're a Christian, man, you can go make up with all the friends that you offended. You can get a will together and declare this and declare that, and that's an awesome thing, isn't it? go around and just smooch and love on all your friends. And then get ready. What an awesome thing. I don't know. You may be thinking, you're nuts, Pastor. You're crazy. Look, I've been sitting on this message for a while. I got to tell you, I've been thinking. That's an act of mercy. You know what? I tell you what. I was talking to a man not long ago who went out and goofed off and got himself some AIDS, you know, and he's going to die. And I had a chance to tell him, you know what? Isn't God merciful? This whole thing has led you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now you're saved. You're going to go to heaven. This AIDS that you're suffering is much more merciful than the grill of a Mack truck at 60 miles an hour. Because if that would have happened, you'd have been lost in a Christless eternity in hell forever. But this suffering has got your attention, and now you're saying, oh God, be my strength and prepare my heart for eternity. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. To be sick, to be dying, and to have encouragement like that? Only through Christ, because he's the one who is the first and the last who was dead, past tense. He's alive forevermore. And the Bible says we will live with him also in John 6:40. And this is the will of him who sent me, Jesus said, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. My body may be laid in a grave momentarily until the Lord comes in the second coming or whatever the case might be. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Man, I'm going to go see Jesus the day I die of sickness, slip on a banana peel, choke on lunch, or get hit by a truck. Whatever it is. Think about it. We need to think about this. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, go and teach them and command them, saying, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's your Jesus in the Bible. He says to the Christian only, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Psalm 139 says, where can I flee from your presence? What's the answer? That was pathetic. Say it louder. The psalmist says, where can I flee from thy presence?
Nowhere.
You're so good. My daughter just bought a car and has low jack on it. And that guy told me, he says, you know what? Wherever that car is, man, satellite watching that car. Some of you have the little OnStar thing, press the little dashboard thing. Hey, where can I find an Italian? OnStar. It's for emergencies, but you know, people, where can I find a restaurant? You know that little signal went up into a space and came back down? If a little computer, if a satellite out in space can watch your car and then you know, somebody steals it, lo, Jack. No, it's behold, Jack, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. What encouragement that is. Amen. We also learn this in verse 8, that if we're going to be living in a hostile environment, and we are, you can be confident as a Christian and as a church. Church, we can be confident in Christ. He says, these things saith he who came to life. Wow. Whoever he was the first and the last who died and came back to life. His name's Jesus, if you haven't caught on. That's an important thing to hear if you are about to face death, that we too will live again. John 6:51. Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Confidence in the face of peril. 2 Corinthians 5:7-8. 2 Corinthians 5:7-8 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident then, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from this earthly body and to be present with the Lord. John 14:1-2, an often quoted verse here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If he went through all that work, he's going to take us there. We can be confident about that. Point number two this morning is found in verse 9. What kind of a church are we? What kind of a church are you and I in times of difficult moments surrounding us? Times of difficulty that surround us. My, we see these flames surrounding homes and in people. Well, what kind of a church would we be? And the truth of the matter is you don't have to wait for physical flames to surround your home or your life or this building. There's spiritual forces against us. Are you a Christian this morning? There's spiritual forces against you. You know, when we lay down at night and sleep, isn't it good of God to keep us safe at night? There's no guarantee you're going to wake up in the morning. God surrounds us with his grace, with his goodness. But what kind of a believer am I? How would I fare under the threat that if I do not bow my knee and say, Caesar's Lord, what would I do? Well, when times of difficulty surround us, you and I, listen, jot it down right, you and I will be able to endure. We will. You know who's going to see to that we do? The Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to make it. Those of you who are Christians, you're going to make it. I tell you, if you're not a Christian, why go through such things? Life is difficult enough, but at least in the Christian life, when we go through difficulty, we have our Lord to call out to. He's with us. When things of difficulty surround us, you and I will endure. We're going to make it. He says, I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you are rich. And he says, I know the blasphemy. There's three things I want you to jot down as we look to this. Number one, I know your works. Listen, about tribulation. This is an interesting word. Some of your Bibles have it translated, slander is another word. Some of your scriptures have the word slander. It's a word that is crushing, that it's heavy against us. It's a smashing thing, something that would come upon your life. It's an announcement. It's not necessarily a physical beating, but the word paints a picture of a great plank or a stone being placed upon your chest so that you can't breathe. You're crushed, so to speak. Tribulation, difficulty. So tribulation, being crushed, poverty, we'll see in a moment, absolute poverty, and blasphemy, that of being slandered against. But tribulation, number one in our consideration, is that thing where Jesus says, I know your works. In the midst of being faithful to me, number one, I know that you've been doing it while under crushing situations. The word is used to describe a man who is being crushed to death. One commentator writes, by a rock slide, or someone who has been pinned by a mudslide and they're fighting for their breath. Philippians 3:10 says about us enduring times of tribulation and times of crushing. Philippians 3:10 says, all I want to do is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. Church, every one of us, if we were listening, would raise our hands and say, I want to know the power of his resurrection. You betcha, that's what I want to know. But the verse goes on, hang on to your seats, to share also in his sufferings, being conformed like unto him in his death. How many of you would sign up for that? Yes, I want to know the power of God. Sign me up, comma, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Somebody slap me. Beat me, pluck out my beard, rip open my back, crucify me. Nobody would sign up for that. In life's sufferings that you and I go through, because we hear the Bible, goes into our head. God specifically engineers difficulty for my life and yours. Did you hear that? This is going to go over like a ton of bricks if you're not listening. God has engineered the difficulty in my life. He uses the world. He uses even Satan, as we shall see in a moment. He uses my own life in his infinite resources and his all-knowing wisdom and power. He tailor makes a trial for my life, so that the word of God that has been bouncing around in my head from sermon or radio program or book that I'm reading gets knocked down into my heart, and so be it, becomes my life. Do you hear that? Church, that's the way that it is. You know, maybe you brought an unbelieving friend here today and said, boy, you know, Pastor, you're just going to drive my unbelieving friend right out of here. I want to be the first to tell you, life is difficult and it has its problems. Go through it with Jesus Christ, not alone. And I would much rather lay my head down tonight with whatever peril I'm in, knowing God has engineered this moment. That being the case, I'm going to make it. It's been well said that all things that come into the life of the believer must first be father filtered. You ought to write that down on your right hand, left hand, or forehead. Father filtered. Flat tire, father filtered. Sickness, father filtered. No money, father filtered. He knows about it. He's not wringing his hands in heaven. The difficulty that surrounds you and I, we will endure it because victory's built into it. We need to start looking at difficulty better, more accurately. Somebody told me, Pastor, we've been poor all of our lives. We love coming to this church. We love this church. This church has kept us in our home. But will we always be poor all our lives? And I said, this is exactly what I said. I said, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. You are so valuable as a tool in this church. What do you mean? Because without you, our hearts may never be tested regarding its compassion, its generosity, and its care without you being here. Oh, all right. I guess that's our ministry, to be poor in the body so that the others may minister unto us. Amen to that. That is a precious thing. Think about that. God's goodness. Tribulation. Not only tribulation, but look, we will endure in this time, but number two, we're going to prosper. Whatever difficulty you're going through. Now, see, as soon as I say prosper, you think money. That's exactly what you think, huh? Prosper. You know what? If I was sick, prosper means health. I don't care about money when I'm sick. Do you? You just want to feel better. What is it for you? Prosper. Oh, if I could just fill in the blank of prosper, I want peace. I want love. I want acceptance. Anybody with half a brain would answer with a meaningful question or answer to the question. Money? Money, I talked to a man a little over a month ago, started a business with a couple hundred bucks. He just sold the internet version of his company, the store that's online, $43 million. He went from investing in a company in the last 10 years with a couple hundred bucks. Just the one aspect of selling his online store, $43 million in his pocket. You know what his problem is? He's forgotten God. He's not walking with God anymore. He's not serving God anymore. He's not doing anything for God anymore. Prosper? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, Jesus says, and loses his own soul?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study taken from Revelation chapter 2. It's part of a series called Letters to the Seven Churches as we journey through the book of Revelation. We'll pick up with more on our next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, if you visit us at realradioactive.org, you'll be able to hear this broadcast once again, as well as past radio broadcasts, and better yet, for your gift of any amount, ask for Letters to the Seven Churches, a fascinating seven-part series through this part of the New Testament. Letters to the Seven Churches, subtitled, What Kind of a Church Are You? A Study in Revelation by Pastor Jack Hibbs. That's www.realradioactive.org. If you prefer calling, here's our number. Area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. If you'd like to contribute to our radio fund, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Remember, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, you could just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.